Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians. Soon after the tragic incident, Elizabeth took her 3-year-old daughter Valerie, and they lived among the same Indian tribe that had killed her husband. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with children and their parents about going back to school. I gave you a little poem, which I hope most of you wrote down. Some of you perhaps didn't have a chance to hear the program. And this was what we learned in the sixth grade, and it has been a good rule for my life. If a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor great or small. Do it well or not at all. I wanted to remind you about the story of David, a wonderful character in the Bible. I'm sure that many of you know the story of David and the giant named Goliath. But David didn't get there just overnight into that place where he showed such tremendous courage and faith in God. David had been faithful first in caring for the sheep, as his father had told him. He had learned submission to authority. He had learned responsibility. And it takes a very responsible boy to take care of animals. Do you have a dog or a cat or a hamster or a bird? Are you responsible in feeding and giving water to that animal or that bird? Are you willing to clean up the messes, the bird cage, or the puddles and the piles that you find where they don't belong? It takes responsibility and it takes sacrifice, doesn't it? It's one of those things that you have to do that you don't want to do. And that's another good lesson that all of us need to learn, because for the rest of our lives, we're all going to have to do things we don't want to do. It just takes unselfishness, and it takes a real boy, a real girl, a real man, a real woman to be willing to do the humble, maybe the dirty job. So David was faithful in caring for the sheep, as his father had told him to do, even though he must have wanted to go to battle with his three brothers. If you had a choice between caring for sheep out in the wilderness and going into battle with your brothers, I suppose most of you boys would choose the latter. Much more adventure and excitement. There's certainly no adventure and excitement in taking care of a flock of sheep in the wilderness. But Goliath the giant had taken his stand for 40 days and challenged the armies of Israel. Well, David was sent by his father, another errand, and he was obedient, to take 10 cheeses and 10 loaves of bread and some grain down to the camp where his brothers were. So he left these things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, and he went and greeted his brothers. Now there's responsibility right there. He didn't just dump the cheeses and the loaves of bread and the grain anywhere, but he committed them to the person who was in charge of taking care of things like that. And then he went and greeted his brothers. And his oldest brother looked on him with scorn. And he said, "What are you doing here? And who have you left to look after those few sheep in the wilderness? I know you, you impudent young rascal. You have only come to see the fighting." So I think maybe some of you know how that feels if you have an older brother who scorns you, makes fun of you. But David answered, "What have I done now? I only asked a question," and he turned away from him to someone else and repeated his question. But everybody gave him the same answer. David had been asking, "What is to be done for the man who kills this Philistine, this giant named Goliath, and wipes out our disgrace? And who does he think he is, an uncircumcised Philistine, to defy the army of the living God?" And nobody knew what to say to that. So then what David had said was overheard and reported to Saul, who sent for him. David said to him, "Do not lose heart, sir. I will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul answered, "You cannot go and fight with this Philistine. You're only a lad, and he has been a fighting man all his life." David said to Saul, "Sir, I am my father's shepherd. When a lion or bear comes and carries off a sheep from the flock, I go after it and attack it and rescue the victim from its jaws. Then if it turns on me, I seize it by the beard and batter it to death. Lions I have killed and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will fare no better than they. He has defied the army of the living God. The Lord who saved me from the lion and the bear will save me from this Philistine." "Go then," said Saul, "and the Lord will be with you." He put his own tunic on David, placed a bronze helmet on his head, and gave him a coat of mail to wear. He then fastened his sword on David over his tunic. But David hesitated, because he had not tried them. And he said to Saul, "I can't go with these, because I've never tried them." So he took them off. Then he picked up his stick, chose 5 smooth what? You know. He picked up a stick and 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which served as his pouch. He walked out to meet the Philistine with what in his hand? A sword? No. A gun? No. A hand grenade? No. A sling with 5 smooth stones. So the giant comes toward David with his shield bearer marching ahead, and he looks David up and down and had nothing but contempt for this handsome boy with his ruddy cheeks and bright eyes. Contempt. Just absolute scorn. "Who do you think you are?" And he says to David, "Am I a dog that you come out against me with sticks?" And he swore at him in the name of his God. "Come on," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds and the beasts." David answered, "You have come against me with sword and spear and dagger. But I have come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Now I'm going to stop there. You know the rest of the story, don't you? You know whether the giant killed David or whether David killed the giant. But I want to read to you from a modern story, a 20th century story about a brave and responsible boy. This boy was 8 years old. His name was Tommy Harper. And I'm reading this from his spiritual autobiography called From the Plow to the Pulpit. He was out plowing one day in the field with his grandfather and his father. Suddenly, Granddad had an attack. He was unable to walk without a stagger, and sometimes he would fall. This left us 1 mule short. After we got Granddad back to the house and returned to the field, I picked up my hoe and started back chopping cotton. But Papa said, "Tom, can you handle the old mule Ada and a plow stock?" Ada was a big, one-eyed, broken-down mule that weighed over 1,200 pounds. Remember, this is an 8-year-old boy. I answered quickly, "Yes, sir." Papa fixed the plow handles to fit a little boy. I was a runt until I was way up in my teens. And with that 1,200-pound mule in front of me, in my mind, I became a man. I was put bustin' middles in front of 5 plows. Now, bustin' middles means that one man had to go ahead with the plow and do the hardest job of all, to break up the middle ground for the other plows to follow. The ground was hard, and it was difficult to get enough dirt up around the shoots of young cotton and corn. Someone needed to run a small scrape through the middles to loosen up the soil before the plows came along to make the furrows. To have a plow scrape go ahead, bust in the middles, was a job that had to be done, and to have that scrape stay ahead of 5 plows meant that somebody had to stay on his toes. Old Ada was a slow plow mule, and I was new at the job. The other plows caught up with me all day long the first day. Papa would help me get ahead, and then I'd go for it on my own again. But the plows would still catch up. That continued on the second day. and then the third. Finally, Papa asked me, "Tom, you sure you can or want to take Granddad's place in the field? If you will give me the mule that Granddad plowed, I can stay ahead of the others," was my reply. Papa thought about this for a little while, and then he called to Dave, who was plowing the mule I wanted, a young 6-year-old mule that was what was called a fast stepper. "Dave, give that mule to Tom. You take Ada." My new mule was easy to handle, and all you had to do was just touch her with the line to get more out of her. From that day on, the other 5 plows could never catch up with me. Now that I had my own mule and was a full-time plow hand, I wanted to do everything the way Papa and the other men did. Something I could not understand was why the other fellows plowing in the same field that I was in would get wet with sweat and I wouldn't. It embarrassed me always to have a dry shirt. Maybe they would think I wasn't working hard enough. Finally, I hit on a way to get my shirt wet. While no one was around, I would take the water jug and pour water on my head and let it run down on my shirt. Then I'd look like all the rest. When some farmer would drive by and ask Papa if he had hired a man to take Granddad's place in the field, I'd hear him say, "No, Tom has taken his place." The farmer would say, "But he's too small to do much." Papa would answer, "Tom's a good worker, and I can count on him." That did make an 8-year-old feel like a man. I believe that very often children can't do what adults think they can't do. But they live up to expectations when an adult thinks they can do it and gives them the responsibility. May I say this word to you parents? Give your children responsibility. This builds self-esteem, which comes from real achievement, real courage, and real sweat.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.